The Word of God this morning, we'll read first from 2 Peter 2, and then we'll turn to Proverbs 3. 2 Peter 2, we'll read the first 11 verses. It's a message of warning to those who are trying to wreak havoc in the church or leading people astray, who are false teachers, false prophets. But it's a message of hope and encouragement to the church, because God is defending his church, building his church, caring for his church, and as we're going to see from Proverbs 3, securing his church. And so, particularly as we get down to speaking about Noah and about Lot, we see how God indeed deals with his enemies, but preserves his people, secures his people. And that will come out in the sermon this morning. So we'll read 2 Peter 2, the first 11 verses. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in lust, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. We'll now turn to Proverbs 3 to continue our study in the book of Proverbs, verses 21 to 26 this morning, but we'll read the first 26 verses of Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Let's seek our Lord's grace as we come to the preaching of his word. Lord, we thank you that you minister to us through your word read and preached. We thank you, Lord, that you minister in the moments that it is proclaimed. We thank you that you apply this word to our hearts and teach us in the days that follow. And we thank you, Lord, that in your wisdom through preaching, that there is a cumulative effect of the preached word over many weeks and months and years by which you build up your people, by which you grow your children, and by which you sanctify our souls and make us holy. So we pray that this sermon this morning would be used in each of these ways and in whatever way you determine best, that your word would not return empty, but would bring glory to your name and good to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as I come back into the pulpit, we come back to the book of Proverbs. We've been, over the last few months, immersing ourselves into this book of wisdom, into the book of Proverbs, beginning with that great proverb, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We've been learning that the wisdom that we need is the wise life that we ought to live is a life that's lived on God's terms by grace in Jesus Christ. That it requires us first and foremost to be focused on who He is, and as we're focused on Him and being taught by the Holy Spirit, we can continue to grow and learn and live by wisdom. Of course, Jesus Christ, I've said over and over again, I won't be tired of saying, is wisdom incarnate. He is the great revelation of wisdom in God. He is our wisdom. As we've been coming through these first chapters, there have been great promises to those who lay hold of wisdom, who lay hold of Christ, who believe on Him and believe in the word that He has given us. Great promises that we can lay hold and trust and believe because they are grounded and founded in Jesus Christ, that our God makes no empty promises. There's also been great warnings that come along with these promises, warnings to the fool, warnings to those who say, I'm not interested, I've got a better way, I know where I'm headed, and I'm going to go there all by myself. Those who decide that their way is better. We've heard promises, we've heard warnings, and that continues as we continue through these into Proverbs. We continue through these first 9 chapters, which are really the introduction to Proverbs. They teach us what it is, why we need wisdom, the benefits of wisdom, what we ought to be looking for wisdom, even as it sets us up for chapter 10 and following, and the Proverbs that come in the remainder of the book. But even as we've been here in chapter 3, as we've been working through this, we've heard of the rich blessings that are promised to those who seek the way of the Lord in the first 10 verses of chapter 3. Last time we were in the book of Proverbs, we were considering verses 11 to 20 and the happiness of those who are living by the wisdom of God, by His grace. Those who are finding wisdom and gaining understanding and coming to realize that these things are far more precious than anything else this world has to offer. Even the correction of God is far more precious than anything this world promises, because God does it out of love to keep us on the right and the good path. And now as we come to verses 21 to 26, we're going to continue considering these things, but considering not just that we need to gain wisdom and have wisdom, but we need to guard the wisdom God has given us. We need to guard what God has given us, the good deposit of the faith that we've been given in Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God that He gives to us. And that we need to hold on to this, for in the wisdom of God and in the God of wisdom, we find security. We find not just something that's good for today, not just something that's good for the momentary trouble that we're in, but here is security for all of life and security into eternal life to come. You want security. I want security. People want security and are willing to go to great lengths to get security, to even pay for security. You know, I was reading an article this week on airport security, which we... In our vacation time, had a little bit of experience with it. It was fairly smooth, but still, you go into an airport, and there's enormous amounts of security. And I was reading an article comparing security post 9/11, post the September 11 terrorist attacks, and before. Now, I had never flown before 9/11, and so I had no experience. Some of you no doubt did and could, by personal experience, know the difference between what it was to fly before 9/11 and after. Because before 9/11, in a lot of airports, and this article was focused on the U.S. in particular, but you did little more than go through a metal detector, and you didn't even need ID, you didn't need a boarding pass to even enter, go into the gate. You could go, you go with your family who were boarding the plane, and you could watch them fly off. And in fact, I found it interesting, they were saying, you know, even if the terrorists that boarded the flights with their box cutters, even if they had their box cutters had been caught, they would have been given back to them. Because you're allowed at the time to have a knife on you, to take in your carry-on a knife up to a 4-inch long blade. This isn't 1970s, this is 2001, September 10, 2001. And so it was, security was, compared to what we're thinking about, it was remarkably lax. But after 9/11, once the airports were reopened and flights were resumed, there were a significant number of security measures put into place, and a growing number of security measures put into place. And so, and you go to the airport now, and you need to be having ID. You need to put a lot of stuff in buckets to go through, get examined, including your shoes and liquids. And you can only take on so many liquids. And if you, it depends on what airport you're going through, you got to stand like this, and you got to go through a body scanner to make sure that you're not hiding anything somewhere. And there's a whole lot. And this was just in the airports. Never mind other security measures that were put in place. Other things going on in the U.S. and around the world to try to prevent another terrorist attack, and to some degree to give people a sense of security, even if it couldn't be guaranteed. To give people a sense that, well, with all this stuff happening, we must be more secure. But to gain security, it comes at a cost. Of course, it comes at an enormous financial cost. Billions of dollars pumped into airport security measures that took place, hiring new staff, more secured, more border guards and everything else. But also a cost to putting pressure on our freedoms and making it difficult. There's a cost and difficulty to travel. People don't like to travel. There are long lines and frustrated travelers and lots that goes on. Oh, there's a cost to security. When it comes to the security of our soul, when it comes to the security of our person, our whole person, to our spiritual security and for who we are, there is also a cost to our security. It is a cost that is borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who secures us. He is the one who gives us security. And it is a security rooted in God and His grace and in His promises. And it is a security for us as we come to know His wisdom and are secure in His way, in His teaching, in what is right and good as His word gives it to us, the whole of Scriptures. And it's a security promised to us in Jesus Christ. It's a security that doesn't just have temporal values. You can get on a plane or you can travel somewhere. It's a security that has eternal value for this life and the life to come. It's a security that doesn't take away our freedom, but gives us freedom. Freedom to live for God as we were created to live. Freedom to live for God without fear, trusting Him, depending on Him, relying on Him. It's a security that you and I not only desire, but it's a security we need. Perhaps you're struggling with spiritual security this morning. Perhaps you're struggling with assurance. Am I really in Christ? Does God really accept me? Perhaps you're seeking security and you're being promised security somewhere else, in an illicit relationship, or in the success of your business, or in the, you name it, whatever there is that promises security. Perhaps you simply need your walk with the Lord to be more stable. You need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded of where our security comes from, that it comes from God. It comes from Him and abiding in Him, abiding in His truth. That what God gives us, what God has given us in Christ, and how He teaches us to live in Christ, something we've not only gained, but we need to hold on to it. We need to hold it close, keep it close, guard it, protect it. That we would know that security our whole lives long. That's what we're going to consider as we come to verses 21 to 26. The security, not just gaining wisdom and the God of wisdom, but holding it close, keeping it close, and gaining the security that God promises to those who do. Spiritual security comes when you keep close to your Lord and His wisdom. Spiritual security comes when you keep close to your Lord and His wisdom. We're going to consider verse 21, keeping the Lord's wisdom close. Verses 22 to 25, keeping secure in the Lord's wisdom. And then verse 26, keeping close to the ultimate source of wisdom and security. Or really, I think in this text, building up to verse 26. Building up to the climactic verse 26. First in verse 21 is keeping the Lord's wisdom close. We have the Father who has been addressing his Son through these chapters, again addressing his Son. My Son, let them not depart from your eyes. Let not what depart from your eyes? Well, he says emphatically or dramatically in the last part of the verse, keep with sound wisdom and discretion. Let not sound wisdom and discretion depart from your eyes, but keep them. Keep them. What is this sound wisdom and discretion? Well, sound wisdom is wisdom that's true. There's lots of wisdom promoted in the world. There's lots of things that are so-called wisdom, but this is speaking of the wisdom of God, that which is true wisdom, real wisdom, grounded in God himself, grounded in the Creator of verses 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down dew. That's the sound wisdom. That's where you're going to find the sound wisdom in the God who created all things, including created wisdom itself, and has revealed to us his wisdom in his word. Is there a better source to find wisdom than in the word of God as it reveals God to us? No, there isn't. As we strive to keep sound wisdom and discretion, we need to be studying the Word. We need to grow in this knowledge. We need to be in the Word of God, in what how He's revealed Himself to us. Studying the Word, absorbing the Word, believing the Word, and living it out. Now, man likes to judge, be the judge of wisdom. Man likes to set himself up and decide and set himself up as the judge or the arbiter over what's wise and foolish. But when man does this, when we decide we are the standard, not the Word of God, not God himself as he's revealed himself in the Scriptures, but when we're the standard, we make a mess of these things. And just it's drawn this week to 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul is laying out the cross of Jesus Christ as the perfect wisdom of God. The way of salvation for you and for me is according to the perfect wisdom of God. And yet man looks at it, the unbeliever looks at it and says, that's foolishness. I don't think that's wise. I think that's foolish. I don't want anything to do with that. It's foolishness. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. He says a few verses before, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The cross, in the cross of Jesus Christ, we have displayed for us the perfect wisdom of God to save us. The best, the way that God determined perfectly to save us. And we decide, well, if it was up to us, we would try to choose a different way. We would reject it, and we do, outside of his grace, outside of his opening our eyes to see and to understand. We come to verse 25, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's wisdom trumps. It's God's wisdom that we need. It's not up to us. It's what his word declares, what his word states is true wisdom. We need to look to our God, look to Christ, look to the cross to see this wisdom laid out for us. Keep this wisdom close, not try to find a different one, not try to pick and choose what we think is good. This is sound wisdom. Sound wisdom displayed across the Scriptures and especially in the cross. But there's also discretion. And discretion is the taking of that sound wisdom and putting it into practice. Wisdom is not just to be something to be learned and stored up in the mind. It's to be practiced and lived out. Discretion is making wise choices. It's wisdom in action daily. As we make choices, we choose whether something is right or wrong. We choose the right, or when we're caught between choices and looking and trying to determine what is the right way to go, what is the right way to walk. This is what this father has been teaching his son is so important. And he's saying, now that you have it, don't let it go. Let them not depart from your eyes. Think of a child, you know, if you're babysitting a child or watching your own child, It seems like you get distracted by something, and all of a sudden you look around, and your child somehow disappeared and found a way to get out of the room and go do something. And you need to get there quick before they start, coloring on the wall or dumping out the plant or something else. You think of a police officer someone undercover on a stakeout, waiting for someone to leave, and they're trying to, they get distracted by something. Next thing you know, the person they're supposed to be watching has long disappeared, has gotten out of the building and is gone. And there's trouble that comes from this. But this father's saying, don't let these things depart from your eyes. Don't take your eyes off them. Don't think you're going to look to something better. Don't think you're going to find something better. And certainly, don't look to yourself. Don't look at yourself and say, well, I'm going to be the source of wisdom, and take your eyes off of the sound wisdom of God and of God himself who gives it. Don't look to something less than what God has given. You need to hold on to it. Keep a close eye on it. And it repeated in the second part. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. The word for keep is to guard it. Don't neglect it. Don't forsake it. Don't become lazy about having it. Wisdom, as God has promised elsewhere in Proverbs, will keep you and will guard you, but you need to guard it. You have a responsibility to keep it. You are in Christ, and you have the wisdom of God in Christ because God has saved you. God has given you faith to believe in him. God has shown you the way, and he's enabled you to walk in it. Don't neglect what God has given you. Do everything in his power to keep it. Do everything in his power to keep it, to guard it, to hold on to it. Do everything in his power to keep the faith. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, exhorting him to hold fast the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What was he to keep? What was committed to him? It was the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel, the truth of salvation. And Paul is saying, keep it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by God's power, keep and guard what God has given to you. And Paul will warn Timothy in that context and in the first letter that he wrote to him of those who had not guarded it, had not kept it, who had wandered and made shipwreck of their faith because they had taken their eyes off it. God has given you wisdom. He's given you discernment. Guard it with your life. Don't give it up for anything. Don't wander away and look for something else. Spiritual security, it comes when you keep close to your Lord and his wisdom. Had their first point here, keeping the Lord's wisdom close. You keep close to God's wisdom. Now, what is the security that comes with this? We've heard the Father give this command. Now, what is the security? He describes the security that comes to those who keep close to the wisdom of God in verses 22 to 25. He gives various examples of how these things will keep you secure, this will be a whole person's security. First, he says it's security for the soul. Verse 22, they will be so, therefore, if you do this, they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. So much of the discussion about security has to do with bodily security. Keeping me alive, keeping me from being injured, harmed by someone who may want to harm me. It's about security of being able to eat or be able to have a home or security in these ways that take care of the body. But it's not just about the body. We don't need security just for the body. We need a whole person's security. And the soul, referring to the soul, is not just referring to the spiritual part of man, but it's referring, actually, the term refers to the whole of man, the wholeness of man from the inside out, a whole person's security. And here's the promise, that as you keep sound wisdom and discretion, they will be life to your soul. In God's wisdom, there is true life, full life, complete life. Jesus, when he was preaching to the people in John 10 on being the good shepherd, he speaks of this life that he had come to give. Contrasting himself with the thief. John 10, verse 10. I have come that they, that is his sheep, may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. He's come to give us abundant life. Not in the sense of that you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, healthy and wealthy. Hopefully you'll be wise. Wise in God. He's going to come to give us abundant life. I remember being under the pastor who the Lord used in my life was a converted Jew, and when he would bring this verse out, he'd always know L'chaim. That's life, and this is what Jesus promised. That's what Jews wanted, and that's what Jesus promised. But he says, I'm not just giving you kind of this fleeting idea of life. I'm coming to give you abundant life. It's in me. It's in me, and that's the same thing we need to have. There's so many people that promise life, and so many things that promise a good life, but only Christ can give that to you. The wisdom points, this wisdom points us again to the cross. If you want life, you need to find it in Jesus Christ. You'll only find it in the wisdom of the cross. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wisdom, God's wisdom, will be life to your soul. It will protect you. It will guard you. It will keep you from laziness in the Christian life. It will keep you from wandering, drifting, as you heard last week, drifting in the Christian life. And what happens on the inside is you internalize this wisdom, and it is deep in your soul. It will reflect itself on the outside. It will be grace to your neck, not like a show. Not in a show, as in something that looks good on the outside but has nothing to do with the inside. Like so many Facebook posts and things that go up on Instagram. My life looks really good, except it's reality. My life looks really good, except what's happening in reality. No, this is real, because this is from the inside out. It will be grace to your neck. The idea, the word for grace is probably better translated virtue. Your life will be infused with virtue. It'll be evident. It'll be evident in how you live. Just like a necklace, a beautiful necklace will adorn the neck and will look beautiful, and as a necklace adorns the neck and brings out the beauty of the person who's wearing it. So this virtue, the wisdom of God that's internalized, will, and the life that you have from through the wisdom of God will also be demonstrated on the outside. It'll reflect in your life and how you live your life, how you walk among others. Security for the soul. Verse 23, security for your walk. You will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. Now, I think I'm pretty good at walking in the dark at home. When I have to get up in the middle of the night, young kids, that tends to happen more often than you might like. But you tend to find your way. You don't want to turn on a bunch of lights and try to, that tends to wake everyone else up and yourself up too much. I think I'm pretty good walking in the dark, except recently. One, because we've been at places that aren't home, so you try to walk in the dark and you end up kicking things. Two, because we're moving, and so you end up with boxes, and I don't really want to kick a full box of books or glassware or something in the middle of the night. But when you're walking in the dark and you're going to be stumbling around. Typically, you're going to be tripping over things. And this isn't just true at our house. It's true spiritually. Without the wisdom of God, you walk in darkness and you are blind. It is so troubling to see people seeking security outside of Jesus Christ. They're wanting security. They need security, but they seek it outside of Jesus Christ, which means they're seeking it in the dark. And you see them run into another trouble. You see them trip over another anxiety. You see them making a mess of things because they're seeking security in the wrong place. And we can do the same thing. If you're trusting in Jesus, you're trusting in the wisdom of our Lord, you will be able to walk safely. You will be able to walk boldly. You'll be able to walk courageously. True wisdom means you do have a light for your feet and a lamp for your path. You will grow walking safely, walking in holiness, walking in the wisdom of God. There will be nothing to stumble over. The pathway is made clear and prepared for you. You will not trip. The idea here implied your foot will not stumble over a stone. You will not trip up, stub your toe. You'll be walking with open eyes and clarity as you're on your way forward. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Brothers and sisters, when does trouble often come in our lives? When does trouble and darkness often come in your life? Is it not when you forsake the light of the Word of God for your own path? forging your own way, finding your own way, saying, yes, Lord, I know, but I think this is probably better still. Is it not when your wisdom trumps the Lord's wisdom? And you say, I know better. Some of you are in turmoil now because you're refusing to submit yourselves to the Word of God. You're walking in darkness and not in the light. You're resisting God's way. Now, in Christ, when we stumble around like this, it's not necessarily an open rebellion, as in, I want nothing to do with Jesus and I want nothing to do with His Word. No, it doesn't show itself often in that way, but it means not receiving the Word of God as the right and the good way. It's letting your experience, what you're feeling, trump the truth of God's Word. It's letting saying, I know that's true, but I don't feel that way. I don't feel that to be true. No, it's, you need to realize this is true. You need to believe it. There is only pain in unbelief. There is only pain in trying to find your own way. When someone comes to you and just gives you the Word of God, or when you read the Word of God in your devotions, or you hear the Word of God from the pulpit, you need to look to the Word of God. You need to believe it. You need to look to the God of the Word, and you need to believe Him. Take your eyes off yourself and look to Christ. Look to Him who is the wisdom of God. Only in Him will you find security and walk securely in this life. There is security for your walk when you, by the grace of God, keep sound wisdom and discretion. And there is security when you sleep. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. As you hold on to the wisdom of the Creator and the Savior, you will sleep sweetly. Your conscience will be at peace. Not because you seared it, but because it's secured in Christ. Not because you've suppressed whatever guilt there might be, trying to stuff it down until you finally drift off to sleep, but because you've dealt with it in Jesus Christ. You'll be secure when you're walking in the wisdom of the Lord. You will be secure. You won't be walking in rebellion. And when you do sin, and when you do turn and go down a rabbit trail off the path you ought to be walking on, the Lord, as you come to confess your sin, the Lord forgives, the Lord corrects, the Lord restores. And when others threaten you, when enemies threaten you, as they do the church, you can say you can have the same confidence and sweet sleep that David could have, even though he was surrounded by enemies. Psalm 4, verse 8, I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And as we read this in Proverbs, this promise is not the first place this comes up. This was actually a covenant promise given to God's covenant people. For those who walked faithful in the Lord and according to His wisdom and did what He commanded them to do, Leviticus 26, verse 6, one of the promises, you read through Leviticus 6, is the blessings of the covenant. And verse 6, I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. This is the peace that Peter experienced in Acts 12, when he was about to be killed the next day by Herod. He's in prison, literally chained to two guards. And the angel comes to rescue him and has to hit Peter to wake him up. Because he was sleeping deeply, peacefully, resting in faith in the Lord. The angel had to hit him to wake him up. Not because he was being lazy, but because he was resting in the Lord. What keeps you up at night? Are the things that keep you up at night? Is your conscience troubling you at night? Are you worried, perhaps, even? Well, what to do? What to do about this? What to do about that? Where to go from here? Just rest in the Lord. Come, if your conscience is troubling you because of sin, confess your sin and be restored in Christ. And if you're worried about what to do or what to, just rest in the Lord. Say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your trust. But Lord, you promise. I'm seeking. I want to serve you. I want to walk in the right way. Give me sweet sleep and rest and trust in you. Give your beloved sleep. Verse 23 and 24 together tell us that security is comprehensive. Whatever you're doing in the daytime, however things are going at night, in every place, in every circumstance, at every time, being close to the wisdom of God gives you security. Finally, in verse 25, there's security from the terror of the wicked. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. There is no reason to fear, brothers and sisters in Christ, because the Lord keeps you in this life and at death. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Don't be afraid that suddenly your life will end and you'll appear before God. For if you're trusting in God and you're walking in His way and you're resting in Him and you're resting in Christ, when your time comes, the Lord will shepherd you into His eternal kingdom. You can rest in Him. You don't need to fear about it, worry about it. Stay up at night and ponder how things might go. In life or in death, you are secure in Him. And as you're walking in wisdom, whatever might suddenly come upon you, whatever trouble might suddenly appear, you can trust the Lord to give you the right response, the words to speak, the way to respond in faith. And I think these words specifically speak to judgment. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Specifically speaking of the sudden terror of judgment, which if you're not in Christ this morning, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, this should give you terror. You ought to be terrified of what happens if in the next moment you were to fall into the hands of an angry God. What would happen if you were to suddenly appear before God in judgment? If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, there is trouble, there is disaster awaiting you. But for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ, those who are submitted to the wisdom of God, there is no terror. You do not need to be terrified of what happens when you die, for you can trust in Christ, you are secured. In chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we hear the mockery of wisdom against those who refuse wisdom, who insist on their own way. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. For those who say, yeah, I heard it, but I don't want anything to do with that wisdom or that God. But the same terms are given us here in this verse. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble or devastation from the wicked when it comes. The same terms that speak to the end of fools are terms that are given here telling the wise to be resting, trusting, not afraid. Not afraid. You do not face the judgment of God because Christ has faced it for you. Christ has endured it for you. Christ has taken away fear. The second part of this verse speaks of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. This can be translated in a couple ways. One is trouble that the wicked might bring upon you, or another way of translating it is that the trouble that might come upon the wicked. Again, I think speaking of the end of the devastation of the wicked and in the judgment of God, but regardless of how it's translated, again, the same message. There's no fear. Even if the wicked want to bring trouble upon you, it's limited by God's providence and His hand. We're going to hear that this afternoon. But the righteous and the wise are secure from the devastation the wicked faces. We don't have to be terrified of the coming judgment day, but we can look forward to it with longing. There is security from the terror that the wicked faces. Spiritual security comes when you keep close to your Lord and His wisdom. The Father has described this spiritual security to the Son who obeys the command of verse 21. But the security that the Father describes is not found in wisdom in and of itself, but it's found in the God of wisdom. And that's declared in verse 26, which is, I think, the climactic verse of this section. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And so we come to our third point, keeping close to the ultimate source of wisdom and security. Security, brothers and sisters, is not in you listening to good advice. It's not in you listening to these things saying, I'm going to put this into action. Because that will make wisdom in and of itself, divorced from God, something that has the value that you need. It'll make the wisdom the focal point of this passage, which isn't true. Or worse, it'll make you the focal point of this passage and of your own security. Because it'll make your response the most important thing. As if you can gain your own security if you just listen to some good advice and put it into practice. No. The ultimate source is the Lord, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The ultimate source of wisdom, as we've seen, is in our Lord. The ultimate source of security, therefore, is in our Lord. It's His wisdom, it's His security that He gives in the Lord, in Jehovah, who, as we've seen time and time again, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah. Your security, the wisdom you need and the security you need is found in Christ alone. How is it that you can have abundant life? How is it that you can walk safely, not worrying about tripping? How is it that you can lie down and have sweet sleep? How is it that you can not be afraid of the devastation of the wicked? It's because of Jesus Christ, your Creator and your Redeemer. The one who established the world in wisdom and leads you in that same wisdom. It is the Lord who ought to be your confidence. That's where, at the end of the day, as you think of this passage, you think of this message, your confidence ought to be in the Lord and in nothing else. And He is the one who will keep your foot from being caught. He'll keep your foot from the trap. Think of a hunting trap. He'll keep you from stepping in what will entrap you and harm you. We read in Peter, in our New Testament reading this morning, Peter, where Peter describes both how God preserves the righteous and destroys the wicked. God spared Noah and He spared Lot in the midst of wicked people, but He destroyed the others. Think of Lot. Even when you have made foolish choices, even when you've wandered off, God doesn't abandon you. He's always faithful to His covenant. Lot took the nicer land closer to Sodom and Gomorrah, and before you know, the next time we come to Lot, he's living in Sodom. He's moved right in, and Peter talked about how Lot tormented his righteous soul because of he was living among wicked people. There was not a believer around him. And yet God mercifully rescued him, brought him out, saved him, secured him, showing His own faithfulness to His relationship with His people. Gary Brady writes, "This is part of the fruit of faith. It is like the peace and confidence a small child has when he's holding daddy's hand. There are man traps everywhere to catch the unwary, all sorts of gins and snares in this world. But the one who truly believes will be kept safe to the end. He will persevere. The same Holy Spirit that has led you into all truth will preserve you in the truth of God, preserve you in the wisdom of God." If you want to know this security, brothers and sisters, you need more than an intellectual assent. More than just saying, yeah, that sounds really good. That's a pretty good advice. You need more than to sit down and say, okay, all right, I've taken the advice. Now I'm going to map out a plan forward for myself. How is this going to look? Making you again the center. No, you need first and foremost is faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to be secure, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. You need security, and you'll find your security in Him. And then by faith, you sit down and you examine your life. And you look, you say, Lord, where am I trusting? Where am I not trusting? How am I trusting You? Where am I stumbling around? What needs to change by grace? You need first and foremost to be close to the God of wisdom and then to the wisdom of God. Spiritual security comes when you keep close to your Lord and His wisdom. This morning we've considered the promise and the provision of security through the Lord, through the wisdom that He's given us for the wisdom He's given His people. Keep close. Guard it. Do you want the security? Believe on the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ Himself. And believe on every bit of revelation that God has given us, the whole of Scriptures. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice, for in it is the perfect wisdom of God revealed. If you reject Jesus Christ and turn it to a different way, you'll find no security and your soul is in jeopardy. Even as you, as a believer, will make these decisions each day when you choose. No, I'm not going to go the way God wants me in this decision or that decision. I'm going to go my own way for a time. Your soul will suffer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fix yourselves on Christ. When you're tempted, when you're discouraged, when you're ashamed by your own sin, when you're anxious and you're fearful and you don't know where to go, fix yourself on the wisdom of God, on Jesus Christ. Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher in the 1800s, he said famously, "For every one look at yourself, take 10 looks to Christ. For every struggle that you have, look to Christ. Fix yourself on Him and trust Him." It's good to examine. It's good to examine yourself in light of this message. Where does my hope lie? Where is my security? What am I looking for? But only in Christ will you be secure. And as you see the deficiencies in your own heart, and you see the struggles in your own life, the sin that's yet remaining, go back to Christ. Go to Him for security. Go to Him for forgiveness. Whatever your state, whatever your place is in the Christian life, Christ is the answer. His wisdom is your guide. It must be if you would be secure. Look to Christ. Keep close to the Lord. Keep close to His wisdom. And find security for your soul. Find security for your whole person. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank You that in You and You alone is security that we so desperately need. In You is the hope that we cannot live without. In You is the direction that we need day in and day out. Oh Lord, we pray that we would be finding our security and looking for our security in You. Lord, that we, by Your grace, would not let sound wisdom and discretion out of our sight, that we would keep close to it and keep close to You, and so keep close to it. That You would guard us and keep us from wandering. Forgive us, Lord, when we look elsewhere for wisdom. Forgive us when we make a judgment call on Your wisdom and decide that we're better, that we know better, that we have a better read on the situation, that we know what we need more than You do. Lord, it never ends well. If there are any this morning who are wandering this way, correct them. Graciously draw them back to Yourself. Graciously lead them in the right path. Forgive their sins. If there are any, Lord, who, like righteous Lot, are tormenting their own souls in the way they're living their lives, O Lord, be merciful according to Your covenant grace. Lord, we thank You for this promise, not only of wisdom, but of security in wisdom. And may, Lord, we believe every promise of Your word. May we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, looking to the cross for the perfect display of Your wisdom for our salvation. We pray in His name. Amen.